We want to be able to stay connected with you. You can watch our Sunday services on Facebook, YouTube and our website. You can also listen to them on Spotify, Google Podcasts and Apple iTunes. If you don't have internet access, you can use your dial-in service by calling 028-9227-0922 and listening in. Let's stay connected. Good morning and welcome to our service from St Columba's in Deravulgate in the Belsize Road in Lisburn. My name's James and I'm the minister here. Really a warm welcome to you. If this is your first time joining us, we hope you feel at home in your home. It's a wee phrase I keep saying, but it is true. We do hope that you feel at home as you worship with us this morning. We continue to believe in a God who is alive and well. We continue to declare that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. That's not just a phrase for an Easter Sunday. That's a phrase that we can declare again today because he is alive and he is well and he is reigning in his world today. Even though we might not feel it or see it, we believe that he is sovereign. We normally start with some pieces of scripture. And today is from the psalm appointed for today, Psalm 66 and verse 16. Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cry out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. Isn't that a wonderful promise? That God has not rejected our prayer or withheld his love from us. So let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you that you are present with us as we are scattered into our own homes, unable to gather together as a community. We still are able to worship you with one voice and with one intention today. We thank you that you hear our prayer, that you do not reject us in your love, but that you come close to us today. So Lord, in this moment, as we spend time with you and with each other, may we experience your love and your grace and your mercy in increasing measure. In your name, amen. Amen. We take some time now to worship together in this song.
And from a church hymnal again, now we have 636. It's May the Mind of Christ My Saviour.
May the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day. By his love and power controlling all I do and say. May the word of God enrich me with his truth from hour to hour. So that all may see I triumph only through his power. May the peace of God my Father in my life forever reign, that I maybe can to comfort those in grief and pain. The love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea. Him exalting, self-abasing, this is victory. May his beauty rest upon me as I seek to make him known, so that all may look to Jesus, seeing him alone. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as I undergo.
We've come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word and to pray for the needs of our world and to seek the forgiveness of our sins. by the power of the Holy Spirit, may give ourselves to the service of God. So each week it's really important that we do that. Not only that we share together, that we seek His forgiveness, that we come together in an attitude of confession, but that we open His Word together. And so we're going to take some time over the next few moments to do all of that. As we come before a God who is holy and perfect, we're minded that we are not, that we need His touch and His forgiveness. Remember that Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Lord God, we've sinned against You and we've done wrong in Your sight. We're sorry and we repent. Have mercy on us according to Your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew Your right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of Your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sin. Restore us in His image to the praise and glory of His name. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Amen. This is the opportunity for the children to hear for a little bit for them. We normally invite them to come up to the front, and we've said before we've loved those little videos or stories that you're sharing of the children. Really tuning in at this point as we broadcast our services. If you were listening last Sunday, you will have heard that we were digging up the garden and we found a Land Rover. A vehicle that helps us go on journeys. And we're going to hear in a moment a passage from Luke about a journey on a road to a place called Emmaus. We love as a family to go on mystery tours. Sometimes our mystery tours, we know where we're going, and sometimes we don't really know where we're going. Not even me, the driver of the car. But they're exciting. Sometimes we need to look at our Google Maps to find out where we are. I'm not admitting that I've ever got lost, so I'm not saying that at all. Nope. One of the things that we did last year on our holidays was that we went to the Mourns, and we went walking in the Mourns, and Daddy had to buy this map of the Mourns to make sure that he didn't get lost. So maps are really important. Sometimes we use a Google map now in a more digital form, but there's something about the paper form as well that you can really take out and study and see it in great detail. Maps show us the way. Do you know Jesus once said that He was the way, the truth and the life? That He becomes the map, the roadmap for our lives, that His words becomes the instructions that we need to live and to show us the right way to do that. So maybe whenever we do get out and about again, whenever you're in the car, whenever you're heading somewhere, maybe somebody has Google Maps or a sat-nav on in the car, you see that. Remember the fact that Jesus said He was the way. He shows us the way. As we've already read from the Psalms today, we need to ask Him, because He's going to hear our prayer. So as we ask Him to show us the way, let's be prepared for His answer. And let's be prepared to listen to it as well. Because remember, if we go to a doctor, we want their advice on how to get better. And we're going to listen to their advice and we're going to act on it. So whenever we ask Jesus to show us the way, to be our map, we need to act on the advice that He gives to us and not simply dismiss it and carry on our own way, but to follow His way first and foremost. So we're going to hear that story about the road to Emmaus now.
The reading is taken from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing Him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked Him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the things that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
As you just heard me say a little moment ago, we love journeys. We probably all love journeys, don't we? We can't do that at the moment. We can't actually go walking in the moors or on our favourite beach on the north coast, or we can't go for a long drive in the car to get us somewhere or for a picnic in a forest. Journeys are always something that takes us from A to B. They're an active thing and they're a progressive thing. You heard me say earlier that we love to go on mystery tours. Now sometimes those mystery tours are tours where everybody else in the car except me is a complete mystery as to where we're going. And sometimes even to me it's a mystery. And those are the most exciting ones. Getting in the car and just driving, not knowing exactly where we're going to end up. And sometimes the Christian life's been explained to us like that. It's a journey, an adventure. And sometimes we feel as if we're able to get from A to B. And other times we feel as if it's quite hard because we're unsure where we're supposed to be going or what it is that we're supposed to be doing. Because we're not quite sure where it's going to lead. Over my years in ministry, one of the most common stumbling blocks that's posed by people who know that they need to start a journey with Jesus, but they don't know where it's going to lead them, and so often in fear they hold off. They want all the answers right now, right here, before they make a decision. But that's not the way the scriptures of the Bible tells us that it should be. It's a step of faith. It's a step out into the unknown, trusting the Jesus that we're going to worship, that he knows best. Like I said earlier for the children, whenever we go to a doctor and we ask for advice, we listen to the doctor's advice because we trust them. And so if we're going to trust Jesus, we need to listen to his advice and find out the way that we need to go. Now, often whenever people come to Jesus, we hear the stories of the Damascus Road experience where Paul was caught with a blinding flash of light as he persecuted Christians and renounced Jesus. And then was set free from his blindness. We call it a Damascus Road conversion. But the other road that we also read about is the Emmaus Road. The Emmaus Road is a different road, a different experience, if you like. And you see, as I said earlier, often we don't join the journey with Jesus because we're not sure where it's going to lead to. And so in fear, we hold back. And in a sense, that's where we join this journey that these disciples are on this road to Emmaus today. You see, Jesus has died. He's rose again. He's appeared to some of the women. So there's a lot of fear around in his disciples. There's lots of disappointment there because they thought that Jesus was going to free them from the Roman Empire. There's a loss of hope, a sense that everything that they pinned their hopes to had gone. Expectations had been shattered. Jesus had died. These rumours that some women had seen him 3 days later were abounding. But really? Really? Jesus rose from the dead? Not everybody believed that at this point. Not everybody understood that at this point. Not everybody recognised that at this point. Because they were saying to themselves, we saw him die. We saw him placed in a tomb. We knew that he was guarded. Are these stories that the women are telling, are they true? Or what's going on? A lot of confusion. In one sense, what they were saying was, we witnessed the weakness of the cross, that in death, everything stops. And so they set out on this road to Emmaus, probably to head back to what they know is familiar, a familiar place and a familiar way of life, because their new way of life had been shattered. The Jesus that they had followed was no longer there. And so what were they doing now but to go back to familiarity? Listen to verse 13. That same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Then they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. Isn't that what actually happens often? And if we don't know what to do, we fall back on the secure and the familiar. Fear grips us. Anxiety holds us from taking that next step forward. Preacher included, might I add. But what happens next? Look at verse 15. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" Jesus appears beside them and he asks a question. He's often very good at that, actually. Jesus is often found in the Bible asking questions. The right question at the right time, the right question that changes the atmosphere in the conversation or in the room, it points in a different direction. It solidifies people's thoughts. And often those come after moments of silence. See, verse 17, Jesus asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They're astounded. Where has this man been? Remember, it says they don't recognise him. Now, how he was kept from being recognised, theologians have debated that for centuries, and we're not going to find the answer to that in this short moment together today. But they've been kept from recognising him. And so Jesus appears and asks this question. And everybody will be thinking, where's this boy been? In fact, whenever Jesus asks the question, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" they stood still, their faces downcast. They were stopped in their tracks. And the sadness of the offence that they'd lost Jesus now took effect. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? And you don't know the things that have happened there in these days?" They were astounded. "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people." They really can't understand where this boy's been. Why he hasn't been able to see what they've seen. You ever find yourself in that sort of situation? Well, you're wondering how other people around you can't see what you see. But listen to these verses. He was a prophet, verse 19, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and then they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had seen. But him they did not see. Well, Jesus said to him, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe. All the prophets have spoken. See, even in their disappointment and their loss of hope, they still long for the things of Jesus. They still recount to a complete stranger who doesn't seem to understand what's going on around them that this person, Jesus, was the one that they pinned all of their hopes to. They're still looking for Jesus. Even in their disappointment, even in their lack of hope, they're still looking to Jesus. Where are you looking today? Who are you looking to today? See, hear what Jesus then says to them. Verse 25, he said to them, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And the beginning was with Moses and all the prophets. He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Jesus called them foolish and slow of heart. Are you? Am I? Foolish and slow of heart to simply believe what Jesus says is true? To seek Jesus as our roadmap, as the way to show us how to live, and then to disregard his advice? See, Jesus started with the prophets and the whole of the scriptures because everything contained in the Bible points to him. I have a friend called Philip who calls this the hymn book because it's all about him. Not that it's full of songs, but it's all about him. It's the hymn book. Every page points to Jesus. See, in this story, in verse 28 and 29, as they approach this village, Jesus goes to go on without them. They say, no, it's late in the evening. Stay with us. And so Jesus stays with them. And listen to what happens whenever he goes in to stay with them. Verse 30. When he was at the table with them, he took bread. He gave thanks and he broke it. And he began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us when we talked with him on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Jesus revealed himself to them. You see, we can study all we like. We can read the Bible for information all we want. That's what it says in verse 27. The beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. We can read all the pages of the Bible. But if we don't experience Jesus, then that will only be information. We'll be foolish and slow of heart. They knew on the road that something was different. Verse 32. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Their hearts burned. Whenever Jesus was with them, even though they couldn't quite see him just yet, they knew something was different. Something was changing within them. The Spirit of God was working within them and their hearts were burning, but they held off. They waited. Don't be slow of heart. Don't be foolish, preacher included. Let's experience Jesus afresh and anew today. Recently, I had a phone call from an individual who had met a few years ago. And over a period of time, we had conversations about Jesus. conversations about how he knew that he needed to follow Jesus, but was fearful about what that would mean and what that would look like. And he's held off. The last conversation I had with him about it was just over about 3 years ago. And even in that conversation, he held off out of fear or out of the unknown about what was yet to come. Well, just a couple of weeks ago, I received a phone call out of the blue, and he said he could hold off no longer. And he wanted to experience Jesus. And the joy that I had in praying with him, in sharing Jesus with him, and hearing him respond and experience Jesus for the very first time as his Saviour and his Lord, made my heart jump with joy. I wonder, have you experienced Jesus? Truly experienced the finished work of the cross of Calvary that means that you are set free. John chapter 10 and verse 10, he came to give us life and life in all of its fullness. You see, often we uphold, ministers are one of the worst of this. We uphold the Damascus Road experience, the blinding flashing light experience of someone was addicted to drugs and overnight were set free. But I would say about 90% of the time, most people, especially in Northern Ireland, encounter the Emmaus Road experience. It's a journey. There are times whenever Jesus draws alongside them, and for fear or not knowing or a lack of hope, they don't recognize him. And it takes over a period of time before he is truly revealed. But the important thing is that in this journey, in this Emmaus Road journey, the disciples experienced Jesus, their hearts burned. And maybe, just maybe today, you're sitting in your home and your heart is burning, wanting something more, desiring to understand something different. Can I encourage you to make contact with me? All the information is on our website, www.derevolgi.com. We can have a conversation. But more than that, can I encourage you to experience Jesus? The Spirit of God may be an old-fashioned word convicting you. Maybe butterflies in your stomach. There may be a noise deep down within you that there is something more. You may even know what you need to do, but you've held back. In the words of Jesus, not the preacher, but in words of Jesus, don't be foolish and slow of heart today. See, verse 32, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened up the scriptures to us? Their hearts were burning, yearning for more. Is that you? If it is, take another step on the journey. And there's a simple set of rules for this journey. Rule number one is take just one more step. Rule number two is this. Whenever you feel you're unable to take another step for fear or anxiety or uncertain about what the future might hold, refer to rule number one and take one more step on the journey with Jesus. Maybe do that for the first time today. You can find a little piece on our website called Peace with God that will explain that to you. Or maybe you are in a relationship with Jesus, but you know you need to reset that relationship again. Can I urge you, encourage you to do that? If you want some resources or help to do that, contact me. But today, preacher included, if not more so than anyone else, may we not be foolish and slow of heart to seek an experience with the risen Lord. Let us pray. Father God, help us in our experience with you, in our journey with you, that we might experience you in a fuller and more complete way, that you would restore to us the joy of your salvation. Lord, that today we would have a desire burning within us to read your word, to experience you more, to hear more from your Holy Spirit, to walk with you closely, to step out on a journey with you, Maybe not knowing where our destination might lead us, but knowing that we are walking with you and that there is no better journey to be on. So in the midst of this mess of the coronavirus and in our lockdown, we pray that as we journey with each other and with you, Lord, that people would be known. People would know that they are known and loved by you and by us. And that would be a beautiful legacy to come out of this. Lord, help us to be your hands and your feet. We pray for our community. We pray for each other. Today in our homes, we pray for the neighbours on our left and on our right. We pray for the frontline workers that we know in the NHS, in the postal service, the fire, the police, in our shops, our supermarkets, wherever it is that those people are, we pray for them. Pray for those who are unwell, for the staff who will look after them. We pray for those who grieve a loss of one who they love. Give them peace. But above all, we pray for your presence and for the opportunity to experience you in a deeper way, using the collect for today. God, our Redeemer, you have delivered us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your Son. Grant that by his death, he has rescued us to life. So by his continual presence in us, he may raise us to eternal joy. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining with us today. Come back again next week at 10:30 and join with us as we worship the risen Lord. If you need anything during the week, please email us info@deravolgi.com or phone 028 92 5282 42. Continue to keep connected through our Facebook page or indeed our website, where you'll get all the information that you need. But until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, and may the blessing of the eternal and triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.